Calvary Baptist Church church night, our evening service, and hope everyone has had a great day today, a wonderful church service, whether you were here or watched online this morning. We hope it was a blessing to you as it was to us. And we had our graduation this morning, and it was a great graduation. We appreciate everyone who had a hand in that, making that come together. And so very proud of our graduates and kindergarten, fifth grade, high school. We acknowledged all of those this year because they were cheated out of their graduation because of the pandemic. But nonetheless, we honor them at their church home. And so we're proud of that, proud of them. And this evening, we want to just briefly mention a couple things before we get into the message tonight. But just remember, this coming up Wednesday night is going to be Facebook Live, as tonight is only, and 7 o'clock there from our house. And we're going to continue that for a bit longer. We'll keep you updated concerning our phase two of reopening Calvary. And we're keeping our attention upon the COVID-19 cases and the rise and fall of those numbers. Hopefully more fall than rise. But nonetheless, we're trying to consider everything in this matter. We're really taking our time as we open up the church. We don't want to take a step back in doing so. So therefore, we're just being precautious. And so you pray for us as we try to navigate through that. And in this evening, let's continue to remember everyone on our prayer sheet and our online bulletin on Calvary's page. And that's in the works. Had a couple technical difficulties doing that, but it's going out as we speak, I believe, and possibly with a couple more corrections. And maybe sent out a second time. But nonetheless, all the prayer requests are there. Just remember those. Let's pray for one another. Let's lift one another up in prayer. Remember our nation. Remember our president. Remember the election. And it's just months away. God knows what we need in America. We need him, number one. And so let's pray to that end that God will allow the right person to reign in that area as president, and we'll just pray for all of our locals. We'll pray for all of those in healthcare, all of those who are first responders, those who are putting their life on the line for us. Thank you for what you do. And so this evening we're going to pray, and as we pray, we will jump right into the message in just a moment. And so we're going to have a, don't know if it's going to be a shorter service tonight or not, but nonetheless, we're going to get right into it just after our prayer, and we'll go until we're through. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight, and we're thankful for that name that we can call upon. Lord, we're thankful for the service this morning. We are humbled, Lord, of the position you've placed us in with our call to preach, but Lord, even to pastor here at the church, I do not take that for granted, Lord. I stand tonight amazed at the things you can do, the lives you can change. I pray tonight that you would change more lives, dear Lord, through the preaching of your word. And Father, we just pray for America tonight, that America would humble themselves, Lord, and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. Lord, we need healing in our land. Father, we need a great deal of restoration in our land. You're the one that can do that. And so we pray to that end. Thank you, Lord, for all of our doctors and hospital staff, ambulance services, all of those who make up and respond, Lord, to us in time of need. We're thankful for them. I just pray that you'll protect them. Lord, we love you tonight. We pray for all of our folks here at Calvary. Thank you for those who are tuning in. Thank you for the faithful who have tuned in since the very beginning. Oh God, we just pray for our list, our prayer list in its entirety from start to finish. Oh God, how our people need your prayers. But Father, all the local churches need the prayers as well. And so Lord, we pray that you would just touch us all tonight in a mighty, mighty way. And we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, we're going to be looking at part two of our message that we started this morning. And we began looking at this morning the topic of God's plan for your life. God's plan for our life. And we had graduation Sunday this morning, but the message not only was geared toward that topic, that particular service, but was geared to all of us. And, you know, there's nothing new that you heard this morning. There's nothing new that we said this morning that hasn't already been said down to the edges of time. But we just like to refresh, and we like to walk our way through the scriptures one more time concerning God's plan for our lives. And so we began looking at that this morning. We do feel like it's one of the most important concerns that we all ought to have. And that is, what is God's plan for our life? Number one, the best, the very most of concerns ought to be salvation. And that is that you know, that you know, that you know that when you die, heaven will be your home. And once you get that settled, then it's on into God's plan for your life, second into that. Salvation, number one. But number two, what does God have for me? That was the question we asked this morning. God's plan for our life. Many Christians, as we said this morning, feel that God's plan is a mysterious thing. Something that God is playing tag. Tag, you're it. Come and chase me. Come and find me. Some even feel as though God is playing hide and go seek. Well, you count to 10 or to 20 and I'll go hide and see if you can find me. And that's not the truth at all. God's not playing any games tonight. God is not playing hide and go seek. He's not playing tag. But nonetheless, the Lord God has a plan, and he wants all of us to benefit from it. In fact, in the book of Psalms, chapter number 84, in verse number 11, the Bible says, No good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly. You see, this world has a skewed idea of God. That he's up in heaven looking for one of us to break the Ten Commandments, and then he's going to strike us with a lightning bolt. But that's not true. That's a skewed vision that this world has upon God. This world has a skewed vision that says God doesn't want me to have fun. He wants me to walk like a statue, a stick figure. You know, he wants to just inflict just do's and don'ts in my life and jump through hoops. But that's not the truth at all. God has good things in store. And God has things that we can benefit from. We need to understand before we get any further in the message that when you look at the word good in the Bible, it doesn't necessarily mean cars and clothes. It doesn't mean homes or houses. In fact, in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good, which means that God begins to work in our lives to better us, to benefit us. There may be blessings materialistically along the way. God definitely says that he'll provide for us, but he is, the Lord is, in the position where He wants to bless us and benefit us. He wants to mature us, and He wants to promote us to the next rung in life where we can be influential and be a blessing to others. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so tonight we're looking at this message, God's plan for our life. This morning we began by looking at three things we all are to do concerning God's plan for our life. We looked at number one, that we are to understand God's plan. Understand God's plan. And we took the verse out of Ephesians chapter number 5, in verse number 17, where the Bible says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The word understanding there we mentioned this morning, and we won't spend too much time on our first point. We just want to refresh and move on. The word understanding means to comprehend, or it means to put together. And so we have these people who accept Jesus as Savior, and they're called Christians. And now we are trying to figure out God's plan for our life. And God's plan for our life, number one, must be understood. What is God's plan for our life? And we know that we're to comprehend or put together God's plan for our life. And we said this morning that this cannot be done by human reasoning. By human reasoning. The human mind within itself, independent thinking apart from God, just the brain, will not allow you to understand fully God's will. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, that we are to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. When a person gets saved, they are into a whole new, they have a new nature, and so they have the Holy Spirit. But and now there's this struggle to understand spiritual things. And so the carnal mind cannot understand spiritual things. And so it cannot be through human reasoning that the mind will understand God's will, but it takes divine renovation. And we looked into that this morning. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 tells us to not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word renewing means to renovate. By the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove or to test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so to understand God's will tonight, we must have a renewed mind, a renovated mind. The same way that house flippers go in and they take a worn out, tattered house and they begin to restore that house. That's the same way with our minds. The carnal mind, the human mind, cannot understand the will of God because it's enmity with God. It is that of carnality. It must be renewed. It must be renovated. The Word of God must be consumed. Prayer time with God must be had. And a fellowship with other believers, listening to Bible preaching and teaching. For the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This morning we said, someone came to me one time, and this is becoming more of a pattern. Brother Justin, I don't understand what God wants for my life. I can't seem to trace God anywhere that I look. I can't seem to sense Him, and I don't know where He wants me to work. I don't know what He wants me to do. I don't know where He wants me to go to school. And so I ask, have you been reading your Bible? No. Have you been praying? No. Have you been going to church? No. Well, you see, if we're not doing those things, we're not renewing our mind with the Word of God, with prayer, with fellowship of the believers, being around helpful environments, wholesome things. And so when someone goes to to know God's will for their life. Don't be of any doubt that you may not be able to find it if you're not taking a daily digest of God's word and spiritual things. There must be an understanding of God's plan. We need to understand God's plan for our life. This comes by renewal or renovation. And we mentioned some things, more things along those lines. Number two tonight, and I want to pick up here and conclude the message with point two and point three. But if we're going to understand God, if we want to know God's plan for our life, number one, we need to understand God's plan, which has to do with renovating the mind and God impressing upon our minds His plan. But number two, not only are we to understand God's plan for our life, but number two tonight, we are to respond to God's plan for our life. Now listen carefully. Understanding God's plan for our life is only part of the equation. Next comes acting upon His leading. I want to say that again. Understanding God's plan for our life. Endeavoring to find out what it is He wants us to do in any given situation is only part of the equation. The next step has to do with acting. We must act upon what God shows us. There's no better time to act and respond to God's will than the present. You remember in the book of Acts, chapter number 24. And that's where I'll have you pick up tonight if you have your Bibles. Acts, chapter number 24. And we actually spoke out of this a couple Wednesday nights ago, out of this portion of Scripture, in verse number 25. But you remember what happened in Acts 24, 25, when Paul preached to Felix, and the Bible says in verse number 25, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Paul preached to Felix the gospel. He was reasoning with him. He was preaching to him. And the Bible goes on and it says that Felix trembled. Or in other words, Felix was alarmed. Felix was in fear. Felix was convicted. I believe it was in that moment, in that time, where Felix, Governor Felix, he understood, at least this one time we have an account, we understand he understood that he needed to be saved. Felix trembled. But the Bible says that Felix in response and answered, and here's what he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix knew he needed to embrace Jesus as his Savior. Felix trembled. He was under conviction at the words of God. He knew he needed to respond. But the Bible says that he put Paul off and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And so we see here and we're reminded that not only understanding God's will is part of God's plan, but also responding to God's will is part of God's plan. Felix knew he needed to get saved, but he did not respond. Felix put Paul and God off for a season that never came. Many of Christians today are putting off God and His will. Maybe they know His will, but they do not respond to His will. They know what they should do. God has given light. God has showed the course they need to be on, but they're not responding. When I have a more convenient season, when things are different in my life, then I will do what God wants me to do. Then I will take care of this issue. When things start to turn a little bit for the better, then I will. Listen, Felix promised of a season that never came. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And so Felix procrastinated. Whatever God has revealed for you to do, do it. Whatever it is, do it. From the least little bit of thing to the biggest thing, God wants you to do it. Whatever God has revealed, don't procrastinate. Respond to it. I like what Stinnett Ballou said, the late Stinnett Ballou, cousin to Ed Ballou. He said, do all you can while you can, so when you can't, you won't have no regrets. Church, listen. If God has shed some light in your life about doing something and you know it's God speaking, you have lined it up with Scripture, you have compared Scripture with Scripture, He has shed light on the subject. Listen, respond. Don't procrastinate. Do all you can while you can, so that when you can't, there'll be no regrets. Let me say this. You might say to yourself tonight, well, God hasn't revealed His will yet for me to do thus and such. I mean, I've been praying about something and God has not showed me what to do. So God has not revealed His will for me to do anything. And I'll argue that point. Yes, He has. You see, there are two things when it comes to God's will. And if I can use this first word, I think it will make better sense. There is the concealed will of God. And what I mean by concealed will of God is the will, the plan that God has in His mind that only He knows, that hasn't unfolded for you and I yet. Later on in life, we start to understand as we look back, this was God's plan for me, but it was concealed at the time. And so as time progresses, He begins to reveal. But there is a concealed will of God. The Bible says in the Old Testament that the secret things are the Lord's. But there is a revealed will of God. There's a revealed will of God. You say, what's the revealed will of God? The revealed will of God is to read His Word. The revealed will of God, something we know is His plan, while we're waiting on God to answer us in other areas, His revealed will of God, something we don't have to pray about, number one, is to read His Word. Pray. Tithe. Love others. These are things that make up God's good and acceptable and perfect will. And someone said one time, well, God hasn't revealed His will. Yes, He has. You see, if you're waiting on a certain answer from God, what we need to do in the meantime, all of us, if we're waiting on a certain answer from God or God to show up and give us some kind of direction, is to serve while we're waiting. Is to minister while we're waiting. We're to read His Word. We're to pray. We're to tithe. Love others. So someone says God hasn't revealed His will for their life. Well, that might be a personal circumstance you're praying about. But in the meantime, God has a lot of things He has revealed for us to do. Read His Word. Pray. Tithe. Love others. But listen to this. Concerning God's revealed will. Something we don't have to pray about that's already to be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, listen. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's something we don't have to pray about. That's something we don't have to see if God wants us to be involved with, is abstinence. Because we know that God wants us to be abstinent. Somebody said, or somebody asked, what is fornication? Fornication is sexuality outside the confines of marriage. That's what fornication is. Any kind of sexual act outside the confines, outside the biblical bounds of marriage. And fornication. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You see, he says this is for your sanctification. This is to grow you, to promote you. This is to benefit you. And so God says that my will is for you to abstain from any kind of sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage. He says there needs to be purity in our lives. But this isn't because God is being mean or God is being unkind or God is not aware of your situation. But it is for your safety and protection and maturity. There's all kinds of sexually transmitted diseases out there. All kinds of people are experiencing that. And that's what leads me to say this, that the Bible is still true and we ought to still stand upon His Word and abstain, because God has and God blesses the marriage bed. Paul even wrote, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, he says, it's better to marry than to burn. Listen, the marriage bed is honorable. Fornication is not, but there's a reason why it's not. Number one, it's God's Word. He's placed it in His Bible. But it's for our protection. It's for our maturity. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Notice something else. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. That's a hard one. Look, while you're waiting on God to answer a prayer, and while I'm waiting on God to give direction, and by the way, it's either yes, no, or not right now, is His answer. While I'm, while I'm waiting, He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That right there is enough to keep us all busy with God's will. Even during a time of pandemic, politics, and protesting. Listen, it is a time that we are to give thanks. He says in everything, didn't say for everything. And so this is a challenge, church. It's a challenge for me. To end this season of our life, of our world, to continue to give thanks. And listen, don't think you're any different, because you look outside your window and you watch the news, and we have these feeds that come in through social media, and we see all these, we see all these things. It is so tempting. It's so tempting to complain. God, why haven't you stepped in? Lord, why haven't you done anything? Listen, He has. Jesus already has the solution. When He died upon the cross and He opened up a new and living way, that was the solution. Now He's saying, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're talking about responding to God's will tonight. We're talking about understanding God's will tonight. And once we understand, once we renovate our minds, now whatever it is, from the least minimal duty to the most responsible duty that God may have, we are to respond. Don't be like Felix and put it off for a more convenient season. Because, friend, listen, that's a season that many times never comes. The best time to act is now. There's no time like the present. Again, Stinnett Blue says, do all you can while you can so that when you can't, you won't have no regrets. And so we're to respond to God's plan for our life. We're to understand God's plan for our life. But number three, I want to mention this. We are to conclude God's plan for our life. The last part of this equation is completing God's plan for our life. Understanding is a must. Responding has to happen, but finishing is of most importance. It's not the person who went to medical school and quit that gets to practice medicine, but it's the one who graduated that gets to practice medicine. I and you possibly, we may sit and listen to a person who went to medical school and quit, and we may actually learn from them. But I, and I know you, will not let that person operate on us. It's the one who finished school is the one who we will have the confidence in to fix us. You see, we serve a God tonight who wants us to understand His will. We serve a Lord tonight who wants us to respond to His will. But then we serve a Lord tonight who wants us to conclude with His will. He wants us to finish. He doesn't want us to be spiritual dropouts, so to speak. A person who starts something for God but doesn't finish. You see, it's one thing if God calls you away like He did to Philip in the book of Acts, who there was a big revival taking place, but He called Philip all the way over here for this eunuch who was trying to interpret the book of Isaiah. That's another thing. But you see, when He shows us something, He reveals His will, we need to respond, but we need to conclude as well. We need to conclude. God has a plan for our life, and God wants to use us in our life, but we must be people of completion. Mark Rick, former Georgia Bulldog coach, used to say, finish the drill. Finish the drill. And God tonight, He is wanting to reveal His will to us in our life. And then once He does this, we need to respond and not put it off like Felix did. But we need to finish the drill. Finish the drill. We are too close to home to turn back now, as the old song says. Too close. Let's do what Mark Rick said and finish the drill. I want to give you two examples, and then we will bring it to a close, but it'll be just a few more moments. Two examples of finishing the drill. In Luke chapter number 14, verse number 28 through 30, we see the parable of the tower. And I want you to notice that there was, well, we'll just read it in Luke 14, verse number 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? And so this parable is about a person who wants to build a tower, wants to build something that is impressionable, something that is for use, something that could help and benefit others, a tower. But he says that this person must first think about the cost, must first sit down. The Bible says, in fact, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Listen, tower building, having an influence in this world and being a help to others, there is a cost, my friend, that's involved. There's a cost that's involved. But then in verse number 29, he says, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. You know, in the flow of these this context here of these verses, verse 27, Jesus says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then he jumps right into tower building. Listen, to be influential and to be that one who God can use, to understand his will and to respond to it and conclude from it and to finish the drill, there is going to be a price to be paid. Verse 28. Then verse number 29, he talks about the person who doesn't finish. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Tonight, we're not talking about things that are beyond our control. Some things in life happen and we're not able to finish a job. We're not able to finish an endeavor. We're not able to finish something we aspire to. But we're talking about finishing the race. We're talking about asking God what his plan is and then responding to it. And then starting the marathon. And I'm talking about when you get started on that road of responding, and then you start to experience a pothole here or there. And then you may run into a wall here or there. You may run into some difficulty. Listen, it's easy to want to retreat and quit. And the Bible tells us here that that kind of person is being watched. That at one time in life they started something and they were so persuaded that it was from God and they began to build, but something happened. Verse number 29, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Listen, friend of mine, things happen in life. Sometimes it's beyond our control. Other times it's our own doings. But let us have grace tonight, as Hebrews says, that we may serve God acceptably. Let us go to the throne room of grace when we experience that pothole. And the devil is shooting those fiery darts to our minds and says that nobody loves you. Nobody wants your service. You are not appreciated. And you feel like that it's time to throw in the towel and quit. Listen, if God has showed you what he wants you to do, and you have responded, and you have been on that road, my word to you, unless God says pull out, I say finish the drill. Finish the drill tonight. Whether it's a pothole or a wall, God knows how to put spiritual pavement over those potholes. Sometimes he allows us to go over those potholes and down and back in. But God is one who's also can give us the ability to climb over that wall. And all along, God is proving and showing different sides of himself. He's provider. He's sustainer. He's the one that can give us power to complete our role and our task. We have to finish the drill. That's what deepens our relationship with God. That's what gives us our experience so that we can help down the road. Now may be a training time for us. Now may be a training time for you. In fact, it's training, then the test. Training, then the test. Let me mention one more thing. Talking about concluding God's plan for your life. Luke 14, 28 through 30 says that there was a man, there was a person, figuratively speaking here, of course, that began but didn't finish. This was a tower. This was going to be a beacon in the community. But then we see in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 7, Paul finished. In fact, Paul did three things. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul fought. Paul faithed. Paul finished. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul fought. Paul faithed. And Paul finished. He understood God's will. It was the day when he was delivering those letters of consent to drag Christians out of the house one by one, persecute and kill. But Paul was knocked down on his back, and he saw the light. He heard a sound, and it was Jesus. And Paul got saved that day, but then God revealed his plan after that to be an apostle. And he responded. He began to preach. He began to teach. And you might say, from that time to 2 Timothy 4, chapter number 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, that was the conclude part. What happened during that time? I mean, he understood God's plan. He responded. He's preaching, he's teaching. Oh, guess what? Many afflictions Paul experienced before he got to the finish line. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I believe it is. Maybe even 2 Corinthians tonight. He talks about how being shipwrecked. He talks about being in the deep, being in pearls by his own countrymen. All kinds of dilemmas and fastings often and wantings often. There was a time in Lystra when Paul was, all he was doing was fulfilling God's call, and he was took and thrown outside the gates and stoned and left for dead. Paul was. And some say this is where he had his heaven experience, where he was caught up to the third heaven and seen things that was unlawful for him to speak of. But you know what happened in Lystra outside those gates after he was stoned? He got up and he went again. He concluded. Understanding is part of it. Responding is needful. Must do that. But then there is the conclusion of God's plan, and that is to finish the drill. I hope the message was a blessing and a help to you today as it was to us when we were studying it. We will give a moment of invitation for you if you want to pray while service has been concluded, and if you need to respond. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you for those watching and listening. Moving this time of invitation virtually, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll just give a second for you to pray.